Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be completing his series, What Child Is This?, with segment 5 from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 38, with a message entitled, Salvation, Revelation, and Glory. Father, bless your word, we pray, and strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 38. I read, And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end, that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. I wish to speak with you about salvation, revelation, and glory. We come to the conclusion of this year, and through the course of this year on Hearts to Believe, we have examined especially 3 books of the Bible, or 3 key portions of the Bible, in some detail. 2 Peter, Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith chapter, and then also Paul's first letter, which he wrote to the Galatians. And for this final month, we have taken five looks at Jesus under the theme, What Child Is This? And this is the 5th and the final. We have considered Jesus as the Son of God. We have considered Jesus as God with us, the one who is incarnate. We have considered Jesus, child of wonder and joy. Jesus also, a troublesome child, not a troubled child, but a troublesome child, for he divides people. to those who come to worship him, he welcomes them. But there are many in this world, past, present, and future, who see him as a tremendous threat. He is a troublesome child to many, but it is not that he is the problem. It's our hearts and how we respond to him. And finally, I want to take you here to this portion of Scripture from Luke chapter 2, which I just read, to consider salvation, revelation, and glory. The overarching focus of Hearts to Believe is that we might come to the Lord Jesus Christ and that we might be eager to believe. Let me remind you of our theme chapter, which is taken from the end of this gospel, which I read to you, Luke chapter 24, when Jesus, after he had been raised, he was walking with those two on the road to Emmaus, and they were heavy-hearted. Jesus speaks to them, and he lifts their spirit. He points out how that Jesus had come. He had come to do great and mighty things, and that he had been foretold throughout all of the Old Testament scriptures. Their hearts were ablaze. He speaks to them, and he says, "Oh, you who are slow of heart to believe." The very purpose of Hearts to Believe is to encourage that we would not be slow of heart, but that we might be prepared and ready and eager to lay hold of the Word of God and to believe it. Jesus, as we see him each December, we consider how that the angels sang, and that was glorious. We consider how that the shepherds hastened to Bethlehem. And we had previously considered, at great cost to Mary and Joseph, they had made their way down from Nazareth to Bethlehem, where there was no room for them. They were unwelcomed, even though Mary's condition was so very obvious. We also consider the Magi who come at great distance to bring their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But then just a very short while after that, those events, we have Mary and Joseph trekking the 6 miles from the little place, the little community of Bethlehem, to Jerusalem, where there was the majestic temple. And there, they present Jesus in this way. It was the time for circumcision on the 8th day, according to the law. And so that is what takes place. And they come to the temple in order to offer a sacrifice, to offer the offering. In verse 24, we read, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. What was the socioeconomic status of Mary and Joseph? This was the offering, the bare minimum which was required in the law. Mary and Joseph were no people of great means. Jesus not only had not been born in lavish surroundings, but rather in that stable and laid in a manger. And what did he have to look forward to but very humble means? A humble home there in a humble community of Nazareth, that is where he would be raised, not amid all of the privileges that others might enjoy. They come to Jerusalem. They are concerned to do that which is required of them, to do that which honors the Lord, to attend to his word. The Lord, God the Father, he had very carefully selected these to be the ones into whose care Jesus would come. And they were people who were right in the sight of the Lord and attended to his word. Then we have entering on the scene a certain man and then another, a woman, one by the name of Simeon and the other by the name of Anna. Simeon is who I especially want to focus on, and this is who Luke himself also focuses on, both the actions and the words. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout. How do you become righteous? How do you become devout? Is it by the works of the law? Paul made it very clear that by no works of the law will any of us be righteous, but that the just shall live by faith. Those who would wish to obtain God's righteous standing, they live by faith. So what Luke is saying to us is that here is a man of faith. Here is a man, as his great forefather Abraham was, a man who walked through life by faith. He had been stirred in his spirit at some point, and the promise had been made to him that he would not breathe his last breath until he had seen Messiah, until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Both Christ and Messiah mean the exact same thing. Messiah from Hebrew and Christ from Greek, both of them meaning anointed one. The Lord's anointed one. He would have the privilege of seeing that one come into the world. The one who had been awaited for hundreds and even thousands of years, he would have the privilege. That was how close. I'm sure he lived each day, especially as he grew older, in the eager anticipation that maybe today, what a thought that is for us as we await the return of Christ again. Maybe today, as the signs of the times continue all around us. He was righteous. He was devout. He was looking for the consolation of Israel. What is consolation? It is the comforting. It is the consoling. It is the strengthening of Israel. Israel had become weak. It had wandered from faith and had veered into works. This is what the Pharisees were constantly preaching to the people. If you work hard enough, if you keep the law perfectly, then the Lord will be pleased with us. Rather than walking by faith, as the patriarchs did, trusting in the Lord. He was righteous, devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. Did the Holy Spirit only come on the day of Pentecost? Was the Holy Spirit absent in Old Testament times? Most certainly not. We read of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, active and present as part of the Trinity, even from creation's morning. And here is a note where there was a special endowment upon this man, Simeon. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it's told to us of how it had been revealed to us, to him, of how that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he comes on this glad day into the temple in the Spirit. And when Mary and Joseph brought in the child Jesus to carry out that custom of the law, Simeon, he takes the child in his arms. I have had the privilege on numerous occasions to take a child in my arm and to bless that child. Parents who have just welcomed a child into their home by birth, by adoption, and they come into the church and in the congregation, and we pray for that child, and we pray wisdom for the parents, and we pray all of God's blessing upon their home. But as I hold that child, two things strike me. At the outset of my ministry, I remember visiting a man in the Grace Hospital here in Winnipeg who was 100 years of age. And I thought back to him as a child. And this was reaching back into the 1880s, he would have had a visible understanding of what was taking place there in 1880s. And if he had known a man who was elderly, as I knew him, if that same thing was true, that second man could have known individuals such as Napoleon. Fascinating to realize that the past is not so very, very far away. But not only do I think backwards, I think forwards. I think as I hold this child, if this child lives for 80 or 90 or even perhaps 100 years, should the Lord tarry, I don't think he will. But should that yet be, I think, what changes? What will this world look like in the course of the next several decades? Simeon, he takes Jesus in his arms, and he sees with the eyes of faith. He does not see simply what is going on round about him and what has been during his day, but he sees through the eyes of faith, energized by the living Spirit of the Holy God, and he makes this declaration, "Now, Lord," and he's saying, "Lord, you've been good to your servant. You've shown mercy and grace. You've shown such kindness to me. Now, Lord, I realize that you are releasing your bondservant. I've been held captive in this body. I've been a prisoner here. I haven't been able to be released because of your promise, your good promise, your promise which I received with joy. But now, Lord, my life is drawing to a conclusion, I realize, for you have given me this one further blessing. According to your word, my eyes have seen your salvation." What child is this? This is the child that brings salvation. In the first verse that we read, Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, we read, "His name was then called Jesus at his circumcision." That name, taken from the good Old Testament name Joshua, it meant the same thing, a savior. It meant one who saves, one who brings us salvation. Joshua was the one who brought the people out of their wilderness wanderings and brought them into the promised land. Jesus is the one who takes us from our wanderings in the darkness of night and death of sin. He brings us in to his family and into our eternal home. First of all, Simeon said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Jesus, you might say at this point, didn't look like much. A little child, 8 days old, but yet Simeon saw that here was what God was working out. What had been planned for so many centuries before, all of a sudden, it was now here. He was now here, rather. The plan of God, it was being advanced. It was being pushed forward. Simeon then also adds that not only is this salvation, but this is one who you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. There were the Magi who had come from the east. There were others who rejoiced in his coming. This was a multinational event, for it would indeed transform the nations. When we gather around the throne of God in glory, and we read of this in Revelation, there will be people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Jesus Christ did not come simply for the Jews, although that was his initial target audience, that there be a witness of God's power and of God's grace, of God's loving mercy to them, but it was not simply to them. Messiah would come through the family of the Jews, but it was a horrible mistake for any of them to think that this was a blessing for them alone. Messiah would come in order that salvation would be known for all. And this is highlighted especially in verse 32, where we have a quote that is taken out of Isaiah. A light of revelation to the Gentiles. A light of revelation. In John's Gospel, Jesus is highlighted as, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread. I am the light. Simeon here, he says, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Jesus, he was coming to be the final revelation. We have this highlighted for us, especially in Hebrews chapter 1, as the author begins, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, God had spoken to them through prophecy. He had spoken to them through the Psalms. He had spoken to them through illustrations. He had spoken to them through miracles. He had spoken to them through angelic visitations. He had spoken to them through creation and all of his mighty power. God the Father had spoken into this world in many portions and in many ways. In these last days has spoken to us in his Son. God had revealed himself in many ways, but now the final and the perfect revelation was being made to us in Jesus Christ. And thirdly, not only is Jesus salvation, what child is this? He is salvation. He is our Savior. What child is this? He is God's revelation to every one of us. What child is this? He is glory. Glory. Once again, we borrow out of the Gospel of John. John especially emphasizes that word glory. At the first miracle, it's commented, it's remarked that Jesus revealed his glory. He cracked the door open, and the disciples saw through into the vast glory of his being, and they believed in him. What child is this? He is our Savior. He is our revelation of just who God is, and what does God expect of us? And he is also the glorious one who surpasses all others. Simeon was speaking by faith. By faith. What was the response of Joseph and Mary? It says that they were amazed at the things which were being said about him. This was only one of the very first times that there would be an amazement at Jesus. Later on, Jesus, when he was 12 years of age, he would go up to the temple at the time of feast with his parents, and there he would linger behind, as others went back home, to talk with the elders in the temple, and they would be astounded at him. Later on, when Jesus began his public ministry and he taught the people, they were amazed, for they said, no man ever has spoken to us in the manner in which this man has. And they were amazed that he taught them, not as their scribes, but he taught them as one who had authority. Then when Jesus calmed the waves, the disciples, thinking that surely they were going down for the last time, the disciples, after they saw everything was suddenly calm, they spoke to one another, surely in hushed tones, saying, "What manner of man is this? Who is this who has come among us?" When Jesus healed the demon-possessed man in Gadara, and the people say, "Go away, would you please? We know how to deal with this kind of trouble. We've dealt with it for years, but we don't know how to deal with your power." The people were utterly amazed. Then Jesus, he would give himself on Calvary's cross. Why? Because he had offended the Father? By no means. He was taking your place and mine. And he was saying to us, "You are on death row, but I have come that you might be released." Surely, Jesus is a child of wonder. Surely, we constantly say, "What child is this? What manner of man is this? Who is this who has come among us?" He is the one who has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. But he did not simply die. We cannot visit his tomb, for it is empty. We do not go there to pay our respects, for he has risen, and he is now at the right hand of the Father, there to intercede for us, and there to prepare heaven for our eternal dwelling. How different he is than anyone else who we have ever known. What grace, what kindness, what love flows from him for lost sinners who need a Savior. Do you know him? Have you come to know this Jesus? Perhaps you have always been warmed or delighted. You have always been impressed with the story of Christmas and of Jesus coming into the world. But do you know the whole story? He is the one who has come to be your Savior, not just a curiosity item, not just a point of trivial knowledge, not just someone who you go and visit once or twice a year in church. He is to be your Lord moment by moment and day by day. He is the one who has revealed the Father. He is the one who has revealed truth to us. And he is the one who is altogether glorious. This world would want to impress us with its glory. But the Word of God declares that there is no glory like that of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for every man and woman who hears my voice right now, that they would come to you and know your life and know your joy. And I pray that they would know a happy new year, a year of joy and of peace, because they have come to know you, who to know is life everlasting. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are delighted to announce a new collection of 13 songs Jonathan has especially enjoyed singing and has himself chosen for this CD called Blessed Assurance. You will enjoy hearing Jonathan sing "I'd Rather Have Jesus," "In the Sweet By and By," "Just a Whispered Prayer," "I Need Thee Every Hour," "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," "Leave Your Heavy Burden at the Cross," "Something Beautiful," "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," "Written in Red," "What a Day That Will Be," "The Old Rugged Cross" in both Russian and English. Someone is praying for you. And of course the title song, Blessed Assurance. Ask for your free copy of Blessed Assurance when you write this week to Hearts to Believe, Box 426.